Imagine, if you will, a world of complete freedom to be who you are without the binding definitions of any description, a world where you are simply you, to grow and to learn and to live as your identity unfolds. As the song's encouraging lyrics say, you can be anybody you want to be. You can love whomever you will. You can travel any country that your heart leads. In that world where someone looks at you, or in that world when someone looks at you, they see who you are really, that full uniqueness of you, not their interpretation of who you are based on your age or what you're wearing or your haircut, the color of your lipstick or the amount of facial hair you have. A world free of assumptions and biases and stereotypes. Imagine. This morning we're exploring identity, the theme for February, and from the point of view specifically of gender. Now I know some of you are very well versed in this conversation. Others of you may be wondering what all the fuss is about. You might even be thinking that we've already done this. We've already had a conversation around our sexual preferences. Ah, I say. That's a different kind of conversation. The issues of gender are different from the issues of sexual preference. These are two distinctly different identities, yet, of course, they sometimes intersect. The first question your mother was asked when you were born was most likely, is it a boy or a girl? The answer depends on the genitalia, as we were so clearly informed by the children. They're way ahead of us on this. So this is your biological sex, which includes hormones and chromosomes and internal organs that are associated with reproduction. Our gender identity can be the same or different than the sex assigned at birth. Gender identity is how we experience ourselves at our core. We may feel in our core either female or male, or we may feel both, or we may feel neither. Society's definitions of masculinity and femininity change from culture to culture and throughout history. Most of us have grown up in a culture that defines male characteristics as competitive and rational, aggressive, independent, active, dominant, while the female characteristics are defined as dependent, relational, emotional, submissive, nurturing, sensitive. These traits are culturally constructed and passed on from generation to generation. They are artificial definitions of male and female that may have little to do with the actual experience of being a man or a woman. Most people develop a gender identity that aligns with their biological sex, a male body and a gender identity of male, a female body identifying as the gender female. This is called cisgender or normative gender. Now, there are two problems arise here. One problem is the limiting of our gender choices to simply two, which is, I believe, simplistic. And secondly, not all humans identify with their biological sex. So let's start with the first problem. The Western mind, I believe, is addicted to dualistic thinking. There is this or that, one or the other, it's either black or white, and it's just not so. Our natural world is multicolored and nuanced. So is our experience of being human beings. There are cultures that recognize more than two genders. Indigenous cultures in North America have a third gender, sometimes called two-spirited. In the Hawaiian indigenous culture, Kanaka Maoli, the third gender is called Mahu. The Mahu could be biologically male or female, expressing the spectrum of gender roles. In Albania, there is a category called sworn virgins, a third gender category for women who don't want to marry or who feel more male than female, who need to become perhaps the man of the house when there are no male children, or where the father has died and there needs to be a male head of the family. I've had the good fortune to grow up in a very non-traditional family, which offered me the freedom to express myself in very non-gender-specific roles. My father was the nurturing parent who got us up each morning and made our breakfasts and our lunch and sent us off to school. My mother had that competitive, independent attribute. I wasn't attracted to playing with dolls, nor was I forced to. I was allowed to become an exploring, risk-taking, independent sort of girl. Walking into the washroom in my high school, I heard a conversation between two girls. They were telling each other what their plans were for after graduation. I was actually shocked to hear that their sole plan at graduation was to get married and have babies. It had never occurred to me until that moment that girls would want to do anything other than have adventures exploring the world. I am a mother of two children, things changed, but at that point, it wasn't on my radar. My gender identity was never a concern until I entered that interesting, confusing, challenging teenage sexual exploration time, and I ran up against society's definitions of gender roles and how that intersected with sexual preference. 40 years ago, my dear sweet boyfriends were confused by my lack of interest in traditional female gender roles. I wasn't submissive towards them, nor dependent upon them, and I didn't wait for them to take the lead. Now, they had grown up in very traditional definitions of what it was meant, they had grown up in traditional homes and were trying to become men in those traditional definitions of what it meant in terms of behavior between men and women. They simply had no social references to help them understand or deal with me. But they were very kind, and they suggested that perhaps I was a lesbian. At the time, neither they nor I were aware that there were very many different ways of being men and women that existed outside society's very limited dualistic definitions of male and female. And we were both confused between gender identity, gender roles, and sexual preference. At that time, in my world, in the developmental stage that I was in, the sexual preference conversation had begun in society amongst my friends, but there wasn't a cultural conversation about the broad spectrum gender expression and gender identity. We were all just trying to figure out who we were, all on our own. I vividly remember walking down the streets of Old Montreal, surrounded by stone buildings hundreds of years old that were next to steel and glass modern buildings. Sleek cars drove by on cobbled streets. And I, in that moment, was gripped with the dilemma of what my identity was. Who was I? Was I a male or a female? Was I straight or lesbian? Was I enough girl to fit into the way my society defined what girls were? Was there something wrong with me? Was I what others thought I was? And how do I decide? Did I have to decide? I had this anguished conversation with the only one who I could at that particular time, and that was God for me. And even God was gender confused for me. It would be another 5 years before the conversation, the cultural conversation about God's gender started to happen. So I'm walking down the street in Old Montreal, and I'm having this anguished conversation with God. What am I? When I experienced, I would call a moment of grace. I suddenly saw with my inner eye that I had created a trap for myself by having only two options, male, female. And then rather than those two boxes, I suddenly saw this spectrum. It was like a pendulum arcing with very male at one end and very female at the other. And I saw suddenly that gender was movement. It was fluidity. Between the two points, there were many, many gradations, nuances for being, expressing, identifying with male or female. And I saw that we're all on, or I believed at the time, we're all on this spectrum, moving as we will, responsive, determined, changing, and changeable. Now, that could be seen as a sophisticated experience of gender. It was definitely an inner experience, because most of our clues and the expression of our gender tend to be external, and for the most part, prescribed by society. The clothes, we see it in the clothes we wear, the way we walk, the way we talk, the cars we drive, the music we listen to. 40 years ago, in the early 1970s, I was listening to Neil Young's Heart of Gold and Paul Simon's Mother and Child Reunion, and way, way off on the creative edges of rock and roll, there was David Bowie, playing with the gender-bending world of Ziggy Stardust and releasing a provocative image of androgyny on a binary on a binary gender world. Thank God for David Bowie. Today, there is a vibrant exploration and conversation among young adults about gender as a separate yet intersecting conversation with sexual orientation. Out of this conversation come terms like gender expansive, cisgender, and gender normative, non-binary gender, gender queer. A new language being created to help clarify exactly what that spectrum of gender can be. Today, this conversation is happening in the public sphere. Thanks in part to some very special transgender children, local transgender children, like Tracy Wilson and Harriet Cunningham, and of course, their families. Tracy and Harriet were both born into boy bodies, but they have felt they were girls since they were 2 and 3 years old. These two young girls, they're both turning 12 this year, one lives in Comox and the other lives in Ladner, are powerfully clear and articulate about being who they are, to the point that their families have now hired the lawyer Barbara Finley to take on, for Tracy, the Independent Catholic School Board, for her right to be fully accepted as a girl when she is in school, including the using of the girls' washrooms, and for Harriet to change the laws in order to get the province of British Columbia to take gender off birth certificates. These young transgender change agents and their families are educating everyone that they come in contact with to the nuances of gender rights and our responsibilities to continue to shape and mature our society to protect the right of every person to be themselves. And if you go on Facebook, friend me, there is a link there to a CTV show about these two young women, and I highly recommend it. Young girls. Last June, the Vancouver School Board voted to update and clarify the 2004 policy on sexual orientation and gender identity. Included in this policy change were the rights of transgender children to use the washroom and change rooms of their choice. I don't know if you remember, but in Vancouver, this was met by opposition and is being challenged in the BC Supreme Court. The new Westminster and Burnaby school boards have implemented a policy protecting student and employees' sexual orientation and gender identity. But unfortunately, I didn't find anything similar for the Coquitlam and Port Coquitlam school boards on the BC Teachers Federation website. Some work to do. So what can we do as an intentional community that covenants to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person? Well, we start by educating ourselves about gender spectrum. We push past our feelings that maybe this doesn't affect us personally, and we start conversations about gender. We ask questions of those who know. We reflect on our own gender identity and how we express it, and how our society and our families shaped our understanding or dictated how we know ourselves as men and women, male and female. The journey we are all on is a journey to know who we really are. On this journey, we travel through worlds and cultures constructed by others. We sort through what is ours to hold on to and what is ours to discard. Our gender is one aspect of this journey. There is another layer to the understanding of gender, which I touched on briefly earlier. And that is, we each have aspects of male and female in us, regardless of the body that we were born into, regardless of how we identify in the world. Our psyche accesses attributes of what we label male and female in its own unique way. The Taoists identified these attributes as yin and yang, two parts of a whole. Carl Jung named them the anima and the animus, and understood the wholeness of human life as a process of gradual awareness and integration of these aspects. The parts of our personality that nudge the edges of our awareness, the parts that we haven't integrated yet, are links to our soul. We are all on a journey, a life journey, a soul journey, deeper and deeper into ourselves and the world, beyond dualistic categories, toward an understanding of who we are as whole beings. In this journey of becoming, we sift through the reflections and the projections of the outer world, sift through what is ours to own and what is ours to discard, on our way to the enduring, timeless, and creative wholeness. We must seize with courage our freedom to become all who we are meant to be. And we must fight for everyone's right to be who they are meant to be. This is the world that I want to live in. I hope you'll join me, and we'll stand together on the side of love.